Hello,
hello, hello, hello,
everyone again. Good afternoon. My name is Andy Lam, the support staff for the committee. The ICT is attending to the chairperson. There's a problem with her microphone, so they are trying to fix that, and we are hoping that she will be joining us very soon.
No, well, we're administrating a go right, man. Bufama Wenzelendo 2 hours before we start, man, for the chairperson.
Yes, we were here already an hour before the...
You were supposed to, that person, Umuhulu Wena, man, you were supposed to start an hour before we start. Umu connect a hand and you even test.
That's what we did. But she was not
bad administrator.
I think she was in another meeting or something. But that's what we've been doing in our previous meetings.
Sabotage leadership, when?
Hello.
The chairperson says people struggle with a device, so we will release chairperson as per rule 159 of the National Assembly rules. So we will start the meeting. So I'm calling for nominations for an acting chairperson.
Karen, is Mkalipi?
Yes, Ms. Mkalipi.
I nominate Honorable Peggy.
Is there any seconder for Honorable Hadebe?
Seconded.
Hello? Hello?
Thank you. We have a seconder.
Okay.
If yes, any other
yes, I was also seconding the name of Peggy.
Thank you, Mom Kizi. Is there any other nomination? In the absence of any other nominations, Mr. Hadebe, can we ask you to take the chair, please?
Thank you, Sharon. Good afternoon, everyone. And apologies for starting our meeting late. Am I audible enough?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right.
Yes, you are.
Welcome to members of the Portfolio Committee, and welcome to the representation from SALGA as led by the President. Our agenda item is in relation to SALGA. We've all received the presentation, and recently we've also got an updated presentation. So our agenda item is the presentation from SALGA in relation to its role with the assist of combating the COVID-19. I'm not too sure from side of SALGA who will be taking us through the presentation. Get an indication, colleagues, who will be doing the presentation.
Okay, thank you very much, Chairperson, and thank you very much to the Portfolio Committee for inviting us. Because of time, I will no longer introduce our team.
Honorable President, can I just request that whoever is not speaking on the platform, can you please mute our mic so that we avoid the echo? So when the presenter is giving us the presentation, all microphones should be muted. Thank you. You can proceed, Honorable President.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I was saying I will not take long in terms of the course of time, but I have got a team of NEC members from the presidency. The CEO will lead us with the presentation. I will request that members will introduce themselves as they make engagements later on with the team. But amongst us is Councillor Gumede, Councillor Ngangelizwe, Councillor Baloyi, Councillor Stofile, Councillor Sotashe, and Councillor Poison, who are joining the presidency from SALGA. The COO, COO, our head of municipal infrastructure and our head of municipal finance in the SALCA will be joining us. Can we hand over to the CEO for a presentation? Thank you very much, Chair.
CEO, over to you. Can I please request the request I've made previously, it's also applicable to all media personnel and anyone of us who's joining the meeting. Please make sure that your mic is on mute so that we can have a clear audio on the person giving the presentation. CEO, over to you.
Chairperson, I hope I'm am I audible, Chairperson?
Yes, proceed.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, to all the honorable members and the leadership of GA. It's an opportunity for us to share with the committee, which we truly appreciate, the areas of work that we are doing as in terms of meeting municipalities effectively respond to COVID-19 calamity that we all face. So the presentation will cover all these areas as outlined, and we will also reflect on the recommendations that we are suggesting to the committee. Firstly, we will cover the disaster management directives that relate to us as local government, and we will also respond on what that we are doing as a sector, including highlighting additional areas that in our view constitute an additional burden to municipalities in respect of the impact on the revenue component of our municipal functions. We will also raise areas around some of the concerns that have been reported publicly in respect of the conduct of councillors as alleged. What are some of the challenges that municipalities themselves are raising? And we will also respond on the fiscal angle of what needs to be done on this issue. Lastly, we will touch on the solidarity pledge that the President of the Republic has called on all the members of society, as well as public office bearers in particular, across all spheres, to respond around this. We are in an era of COVID-19. Since the 15th of March, when the president addressed the nation and indicated that on the 16th, there will be regulation declaring the state of national disaster in the country in terms of the Disaster Management Act. So if you look at some of the directives that have been promulgated, there are about six of those. And of those, three relate to other departments, and of those, three relate to COCTA in terms of Regulation 318, Regulation 399, with all the directives as outlined in the regulatory prescript that has been outlined. So all of these pertain to what needs to be done by municipalities, as well as pertaining to conduct in terms of group meetings. We also have other directives that are directed at municipalities, but these arise out of other sector departments. The one being transport, the second being development, the third one being treasury regulations insofar as creating a dispensation for municipalities to be able to operate outside the usual framework of calling for public meetings for IDPs as well as budget. So there's a battery of measures, Chairperson, that have been directed to municipalities in respect of this. Of course, some of these have led to us postponing major events, and I would imagine it applies to Parliament and many other institutions that COVID-19 has a disruptive force to all our normal work. Now, on the regulations, that speaks to what are we doing insofar as our core mandate of providing essential services to communities. These are some of the areas that honorable members will be familiar with in terms of what we do day to day as municipalities. But we have also understood the the impact of COVID. And in that respect, make sure that we must continue providing electricity in a manner that does not allow for disruption, as well as areas of disconnection in terms of the credit control measures. But later on in the presentation, we will then highlight the impact of some of these areas. Regulation 318 pertains to quarantine facilities as well as shelters. So this is the work that relates to what we have done as municipalities in that respect. And so far, in respect of quarantine facilities, there is about 57 that have been identified, of which 28 are already activated, and 855 of these, in terms of people, have already been put into those facilities, in those quarantine facilities. In respect of shelters, there is about 166 shelters for homeless that have been operationalized, and approximately 13,000 people have now been put into those 166 shelters.
CFO, my apologies. Chair, are you with us?
I think I'm connected by hook or crook. My apologies, ne?
Right.
You can proceed during the meeting. Hello, President.
Chair, our meeting is already in session and we are live on panel 408. So the presenter is busy doing the presentation. We'll continue in that regard. Once the presentation has been concluded, you will take over the role of chairing. Can you proceed?
Yep. And apologies. Yeah, you can proceed. I was still busy with IT. Thank you. I'm sorted now, finally. Thank you. My apologies. You can proceed.
Thank you very much, Chair. Thank you very much, Chairperson. These are facilities that have been identified for quarantine purposes. And in total, they are 57 as spread across all the 9 provinces of our country. In terms of Regulation 399, what are we doing as local government in respect of provision of water and sanitation? This is the work we are doing, Chairperson, in terms of this regulation. I hope it's moving on your side. There's a bit of a disruption on our side. It's doing searching. My apology. Is it proceeding on your side in terms of the screen, or is blank also?
Mine says DMA Computer Regulation 399 Water and Sanitation.
Yes, we are trying to. Trying to move on this slide, and it has got something that is a bit distracting.
We are on slide 12 of the link from our side.
Yes, Chairperson, it is the one that says 399.
Yes, slide 12.
So there's a bit of a challenge on our side on the slide movement. There's a bit of a freeze on this slide.
Chairperson, I can flash the slides from my side if there's a problem.
If you can fly it, I'll appreciate that.
Okay.
From three. Yes. Yeah.
All right.
Can everyone see?
Yes. Can you take us slide 12?
So on slide 12, Chairperson, it was on the regulation 399.
Yes.
And the work we are doing on water tank provision. as well as the deployment of those tankers. Are we on that slide?
That's correct.
If we are on that slide, Chair, that is the profile of how many of these tanks have been deployed across the country in respect of installation and how many are remaining to be installed across the country. There are, however, challenges that we have experienced in some municipalities where some of them have not yet been installed. So there is work that we are coordinating with Water Affairs and Sanitation insofar as ensuring that those municipalities must be assisted in respect of that work. The next slide is in respect of Regulation 399, insofar as issues of communication and awareness to municipalities, as well as hygiene-related functions. Insofar as communication, Chairperson, the next slide will demonstrate that the leadership of SALGA has already communicated some of the expectations that municipalities must do, and that speaks to the 28th of March communication issued by the President of SALGA to all municipalities to define what is the expected leadership role of municipalities in terms of visibility, encouraging all of them to make sure that they play the role of leading the face of communities in terms of councillors. So we have done that communication. On top of that, we have also communicated widely in terms of media, insofar as what needs to be done, including in various disaster management centers that have been established across the country in respect of that. I'm now on the Disaster Regulation 399 that speaks to municipal operations and governance. If you can slide that slide. And in that slide, Chairperson, we are highlighting some of the additional burdens that we are pointing out insofar as municipalities need to contend with arising out of these directives. And the next slide speaks to what are those directives. There is now clearly an inducement that there must be additional service offering to municipalities consistent with the nature of the disease we're fighting. It requires high levels of hygiene. So therefore, the frequency of servicing some of these communities needs to be almost doubled, if not tripled. There is also a need for extraordinary cleansing of public facilities in respect of that. There is also the need for us to make sure that we also provide support measures in all the quarantine sites as identified. Mitigation measures, monitoring social gatherings, and also the frequency of our environmental health inspections, as well as availing some of facilities for homeless. So those are additional responsibilities that are also imposed to municipalities, Chairperson. In respect of the impact of COVID-19 on the revenues, I'm on the slide on the municipal revenue, Chairperson. Here we are highlighting what are some of the major factors that would undermine revenue strength of municipalities. Now that we are on lockdown, indeed the issue of job losses is going to be a major challenge that we'll face, issues of reduced income to people, and also the reduction correspondingly of collection levels by municipalities is a factor, and therefore it has a direct impact on the ability of municipalities to meet their other obligations. So it's almost like it's a perfect storm that is facing all of us, especially at the level of municipalities. Water and electricity issues of reduced consumption insofar as volumes that industries will be using for water and electricity, and the direct knock-on effect is that revenue will not come to municipalities. Rental of municipal facilities, as we know, some of our municipalities are in coastal areas, they are in high tourist attraction areas, and the consequence of not having facilities utilized has got a direct bearing on the revenue of municipalities. We also project that the general decay in the economic fortunes of the country would also result in a significant drop in the payment of municipalities. The next slide is what we are projecting, Chairperson, on the areas of water and sanitation. What is the loss that is projected there? Again, the potential water sanitation losses that we are projecting pertain to the estimates that we do on the billing to municipalities as well as citizenry versus the actual billing that the lockdown period would also impact on municipalities. Some of the assumptions that we factor in the estimation of project revenue is that we envisage that the reduction in revenue from business and schools is going to impact. Some of the biggest impact is that on poor communities, especially some of them where there's been major outstanding debt at present, is going to be very difficult to collect that. The collection rate for the last 3 months is also expected to be drastically reduced. The last 3 months of a financial year, as we all know, is April, May, June, which coincides directly with the start of the cycle of the lockdown out of the corona crisis that we all face. What are some of the projected under recoveries on electricity, which is the next slide? Here, Chairperson, similar to water, our collection levels would also be equally impacted, especially on areas that relate to bulk sales, industry, commerce, and so on. We also indicate that at the level of communities, it's going to be a corresponding knock-on effect because the consumption is also going to go high where people are sitting at home. And we've seen many of our areas, Soweto, and many areas where there's difficulties in general to collect electricity that can only be compounded by some of these challenges in other areas. We are also projecting that in the new financial year, 2020-2021, the collection ratios will also decline in municipalities right up until 30th June 2021, especially in respect of the sales that will impact heavily. Now, this is where the challenge is, Jefferson. Electricity in municipalities is a major source of revenue that we use to cross-subsidize other non-revenue elements of our municipal function. So in the revenue mix, we collect from electricity, we cross-subsidize non-incoming areas of our work, your use of community facilities, your cemeteries, your community swimming pools, your other areas where you offer the service without directly receiving money, which is your metropolis service, your traffic services, and. So the knock-on effect is quite across the entire value chain. The projected under-recoveries on property rates, which is also another revenue mix instrument that we use as municipalities. In respect of that area, unfortunately, the MFMA does not have a provision for special rebates that we can do in terms of these areas. So it means we were likely to face also a reduction of income, especially in some of our coastal cities, in some of our major cities where there is accommodation establishment, the hospitality industry, across almost all our municipalities. So the knock-on effect is quite huge on those areas because if they can't collect, they are likely to say to us, we can't pay your rate also. So the projected financial loss to municipalities for 2020, July to 2021, is quite huge in all respects that we can imagine. And therefore, it's going to impact on municipalities. Other revenue instruments that are likely to have a knock-on effect, these pertain to event-related revenue. Your municipal stadiums, the convention centers, and other city facilities that we have, and rental facilities, fine and other traffic services, the municipal transport, bus fares, and. So it's quite huge in all respects where we are facing quite a perfect storm from the revenue responsibilities of our municipalities. Municipalities over the last 6 weeks, Chairperson, have also raised quite a number of issues to SALGA across all provinces. In the main, Chairperson, it falls into these eight areas we have highlighted. They have limited resources and means to implement these directives. There is also sites that have been identified, as I've mentioned, and they didn't have resources, limited manpower to be able to expand their services regularly. The issues around the response for deep cleaning and fumigation, as well as other facilities that ordinarily they would not be through, including tankard, water, and so on. So later on, we'll...
It seems as if we have lost the CFO. CFO, are you still there?
It's the CEO. I think we lost you. It's not the CEO. It's the CEO,
CEO, yes.
Yes.
Oh, CEO.
It's only me who has lost the CEO.
Lance, are you on the line? Can you continue?
And it's bad.
Can someone please contact him and find out what's happening, Honorable President?
Thanks, Chairperson and President.
But Chairperson, with your permission, let's ask the COO to continue while we are interacting with the CEO on the site so we don't waste more time.
Thank you. Can you also be mindful of the fact that we had already lost about 35 minutes of our time, and we've browse through the presentation, given the fact that it's 70 slides. Can you just highlight the key aspects in your presentation and not go through the entire presentation so that we save time? The meeting is scheduled to conclude at 6.
Agreed, Chairperson.
Yes, Chair, because we also received the presentation beforehand. I agree. I support that view.
Agreed, Chairperson.
Lance, proceed.
Thank you very much. I think the problem was that whoever is administering has switched off all of the mics, so the CEO's mic was switched off. That's why he can't be heard. But if we can proceed to the next slide.
Yes, proceed. We're on slide.
What follows in the next slide are a detailed list of challenges that municipalities are experiencing as it relates to executing the regulations. The first of such is the water and sanitation, and you can move on to the next slide. And it relates in the main to the use of tanks and tankers as a correct intervention as we speak, but it has related challenges. If you can move to the next slide so that we can highlight what it is. Whilst if we look at the intention with introducing this intervention of providing potable water, it was to ensure that the high traffic areas in our municipalities are serviced, such as your taxi ranks, your stations, and your markets. But the reality is that we have a current status of water and sanitation delivery in the country, which shows that 3 million people do not have access to water. Where there is access, there's a 63% reliability. And you would see that whilst a majority of the unserved, And those are the areas we're trying to reach through water tankers and tanks. They are really in the rural areas. It is also the areas that are less affected as we speak, and the more affected areas are your urban areas. So the challenge that is coming forth is that the COVID-19 is trying to show to us that there are serious challenges related to the supply of water and the delivery of sanitation across the country, and those that are really affected are the poor and vulnerable communities. If you can move to the next slide, it then indicates if we are looking at a long-term or even a medium-term solution, our water tank is that solution. The reality is that the needs are huge to solve the problem. Tankers tanks are not cheap. The current estimate is that it's running at 100 million rand a month cost. It's particularly high in your rural areas. But from a municipal point of view, the use of tanks places serious financial burdens on municipalities. It places logistical challenges on municipalities. And more so, it creates a sense of expectation far beyond COVID-19. And those may be expectations that as government, we will not be able to respond to. But it is also an interim solution and not necessarily a long-term solution. So if we move to the next slide, it just shows that, yes, there are some positive aspects coming out of the use of the tanks and the water tankers as we speak, as we do see now access, improved access to vulnerable communities and also to areas that have been unserviced. The next slide. We wanted to draw attention, Chairperson, to the risks attached to the current interventions, and those risks relate to the possibility of discontinuing these services post the COVID-19 financially, huge financial implications. And we had identified risks. There's an impact that has also been identified. And then we are also looking at mitigating factors to try and mitigate against the risks outlined in the presentation. Where we would want to draw attention, because it is important, it is right at the bottom of the slide, that 306 million has already been spent, and there's likely to be a double that being spent going forward. And it will still be an interim solution and not necessarily a long-term solution. Next slide. So what we are saying is that whilst this is a short-term intervention, we need to look at what would happen post COVID-19 such that we do have an exit and that municipalities would then have to focus together with provincial and national government would have to then shift the focus to sustainable solutions where water service authorities, your municipalities, are able to provide these services over a more longer and a sustained period. Next slide. I'm just taking cue from you, Chairperson, on the time. So. Long-term interventions, we are drawing attention to what those are. So we are saying that we need to look at the diversification of our water resource mix. And we can tap into all of the relevant sources and available sources, whether it is through acid drain mining, through desalination, through tapping into our groundwater or your surface water sources, and the next few slides essentially presents what we are saying should be serious matters to attend to look at a sustainable long-term solution for the crisis facing us in the water in particular space. And the following few slides is the detail related thereto. Chairperson, I'm not going to walk through that for ease of the time. But it is now with the committee, and you can look at the detail in your own time. The next challenge relates to credit control. If you can move to the next slide, the CEO has earlier indicated that as SALGA, We had looked at the challenges that the country is currently facing, and acknowledged the fact that there will be a huge impact on the income levels of communities, and that we are already facing the fact that households are unable to service their municipal accounts, and it would lead to disconnection. Yes, besides the fact that there is already a history of a municipality having started a process of credit control, and they may be now at the point where the next step is disconnection. And that disconnection, whether it's for water or whether it's for electricity, will worsen the situation. And as such, while we are mindful of the fact that municipalities must collect as much as possible, if you can move to the next slide, the SALGA NEC did resolve that it would want to ask municipalities to suspend their credit control measures, particularly as it relates to the part on disconnection, that step, whether it's for water and electricity. And that communique has already gone out to municipalities, and many municipalities have responded positively. And we would not be seeing, or should not be seeing, disconnections from a municipal point of view, whether it's for water or for electricity. The second part is then to engage with ESCOM, because if municipalities are suspending disconnections as a measure of their credit control, it will impact on a municipality's ability to generate revenue, and therefore may be in a difficult position to service its debt with ESCOM. So we should also be having a conversation with ESCOM that this is the predicament that municipalities are finding themselves in, but also that ESCOM should likewise not disconnect municipalities for arrears, at least within this phase of the lockdown, because it will have a consequent impact on everyone in those municipal areas. But also we should be having a conversation around with ESCOM around the interest that would be applicable during this time of the lockdown due to lack of payment as a consequence of the reduced revenues of municipalities. So that has been communicated to municipalities, and as I've said, there has been a positive response. However, if we move to the next slide, the difficulties that we are experiencing is that ESCOM is not responding in the same vein, and it is not coming on board in the good faith in which municipalities are coming on board. And we have seen a number of communiques to ESCOM. And if you go to the next few slides, what it shows are two examples of communiques sent by ESCOM to municipalities. The first example is a municipality requesting and it's referred to as a holiday payment period. But drawing attention to the fact that there's this reality that is facing municipalities, but ESCOM refused to come on board, and it is not willing to come on board. The second example is ESCOM threatening a municipality in the Northwest with disconnections if it does not service their debt. But the bigger problem, Chairperson, relates to the ongoing discussions around the executive authority for the function of electricity. Because in the same vein where municipalities are unable to collect now because of not using disconnections, it is a normal scenario a municipality would face where ESCOM is providing electricity in its area. And a municipality is unable to use disconnections to collect revenue on your property rates and other service charges that a municipality is invoicing in certain areas, because ESCOM is the provider of electricity function. So ordinarily you would have this difficulty that municipalities are finding themselves in, and it reinforces the point that we need to reconsider the impact of this uncertainty around the executive authority for the electricity function, and ensuring that ESCOM becomes a service provider to a municipality and a service provider that will be able to assist a municipality to enforce its credit control mechanisms and being able to disconnect in areas where a municipality is called trying to collect other surcharges outside of the electricity function where Eskom is being the provider in that area. So it continues to present us with challenges, and we are hoping that Eskom will come on board and not worsen things as they currently stand. The next slide. The fiscal response, Chairperson, we have detailed what the impact is on municipalities currently as we speak, but likely to be the impact on municipalities going forward, at least for the foreseeable 9 to 12 months. Municipalities will be finding themselves in this difficulty of reduced collections, under collection. But it then requires a business unusual approach, and as such, we have at least seen that there are three potential areas of fiscal response to assist municipalities in this difficulty. The first such is the Disaster Management Relief Fund, and that is a fund that has been made available through the disaster management. So that's the first area that municipalities could tap into for purposes of funding some of the COVID-19 costs that they are having to execute as per the regulations. The second is the reprioritization of the MIG funding, and there's a close link between the underspending that we have in our municipal spaces and areas and the what has now been made available for municipalities to reprioritize and spend towards the COVID-19. So those two measures are very useful measures as they are. However, the difficulty is that we are now in week 5 of the lockdown, and no municipality has been able to benefit from those particular funding options that have been available. So as we speak, a municipality is still relying on its own resources to fund the obligations that have been placed on them by the regulations. And that is the biggest difficulty municipalities are facing as we speak. The third area of fiscal response is the 20 billion rands. And maybe before I get to the 20 billion rand allocation, as ASALGO, we have made a proposal with regard to how both the relief fund grant as well as the MIG reprioritization of the MIG funding could be spent. And that detail has been provided through COCTA to the necessary authorities. But on the 12 billion rand allocation that has been made, I think all of us are aware, if you can go to the next slide, of the areas that have been announced as the areas of focus for responding to the challenges of COVID-19, and it's listed on the slide. I'm not going to detail it, but also there are areas that have been prioritized.
Can I give you 5 minutes to wrap up, because we are left with 43 minutes and we still have...
Chairperson, before that, ne?
Yes.
Can ask Councillor Sebenzile to switch off to mute his mic together with Mthobeli. That's why we can't hear. Their mics are on.
Honorable Sebenzile Ngange, Elizwe, can you assist with switching off your mic?
Can you mute his mic, please?
Yes. Every time you page your presentation, it gives an echo and a feedback. Thank you.
Also Mthobeli.
Yes.
Mthobeli as well can mute his or her mic, because those are the major cause. That's why we can't hear properly.
Yeah. Chair, I was proposing that, seeing that we're only left with 42 minutes and we still have an opportunity for members to interact and also get feedback from SALGA, can't we give Lance 5 minutes to conclude? Land.
Okay, can you also ask the secretary to unmute the CEO?
Is he unable to unmute from his side? Which device is he using? He can be able to unmute from his side. Lance, can you summarize within the next 5 minutes?
So Chairperson, I hope I'm a bit more audible. There are areas that have been identified for the spending of the 20 billion. Again, the challenge linked to this is that this is funding based on the communique from Treasury that would only be available in the new financial year for municipalities, which starts in July. So as we speak, there is very little, in fact, there is no financial relief being given to municipalities to execute their responsibilities in terms of the regulations that have been that have been issued and the directives that have been issued. If we can move to the next slide, Chairperson, the challenges that have been raised and leveled against councillors, SALGA very early when there were two or three cases in the media domain around allegations leveled against councillors under the signature and pen of the president of SALGA, a communique was sent out to municipalities and condemning the behavior that we have picked up in the media and specifically asking speakers of municipal councils to act in terms of the code of conduct against any councillor and or official that is found to be breaching the code of conduct of the Systems Act. And so those were in the early days, but however, Chairperson, if we move to the next few slides, you will note that as we speak, there are 19 incidents across all 9 provinces. So 19 incidents across 9 provinces that have been picked up of misconduct from municipalities. We are presenting to the portfolio committee what the issue is, what has been done by municipalities, what has been done by political parties, and lastly, what has been done by the law enforcement agencies to respond to those issues. We can safely say on the issues that have been highlighted, there's action that has been taken by a municipality. In some instances, we have also seen political parties coming on board and taking action to go against those that are found to be contravening the regulations, but also contravening the code of conduct. So we have certainly seen positive action being taken. But we do want to make the point, Chairperson, is that we have in excess of 9,300 councillors. And here we have 19 incidents impacting 20 councillors. But it is unfortunate that the message that we pick up in the media, it's as if it is a general problem in local government. It is 20 councillors out of 9,300 odd councillors. And it cannot be that... If we can move on, Chairperson, we'll skip the part on the detail of the allegations and come to the last part of the presentation, which is the Solidarity Fund. Because I have time constraints, Chair, go to the recommendations part. Skip the slide. I'll spare the detail, Chairperson, and allow members the slide before, two slides before. Slide before. You're going too far. Can you skip the slide? Skip the next slide. Yes. No. Go back one slide, and I will zoom into this slide. Chair, whilst he's going back to the previous slide, is that the because of the call made by the president, the SALGA NEC had also considered the matter. There is a detailed background that informed the consideration of the matter, and the SALGA National Executive Committee had resolved that it would recommend, and why we are emphasizing the point recommend, Chairperson, is that the NEC of SALGA is well aware of the fact that it cannot dictate to municipalities what to do as a starting point. So it's recommending a few things. So it's not dictating, it is recommending to councils to consider these matters within the context within which the NEC is proposing. And secondly, once councils have considered the matter, they would then engage with municipal staff as well as councillors, and there's an expectation that certainly before any deductions can be made in terms of the necessary legislation, there should be consent from municipal employees as well as councillors. So there is no there's no decision that the NEC has taken to force municipalities to implement. So what the NEC is saying that it is recommending that councillors, officials, and SALGA staff must contribute and pledge. There are proposals made on how councillors should pledge, how senior managers should pledge, but also how your bargaining council employees should pledge. So those are recommendations that are being made. It is also recommended, Chairperson, that the use of the funds should benefit those within municipalities. So the difference of the contribution should be felt within local areas. And it is within that context that a recommendation is made that every municipality establishes its own solidarity fund. There are terms and reference that have been developed for that fund to make it transparent and accountable. And that fund would then be housing the contributions that will come from municipalities, from municipal councillors in that municipality, the officials in that municipality, all will contribute to that fund. And that the funds that are contributed will then be used as seed funding to also attract and encourage contributions from business and other stakeholders within that particular municipality, so that those funds could then be used towards initiatives in that particular municipality, and therefore a difference could be made much closer to the to those that are contributing from the respective municipalities. It was a bit of a rush, Chairperson, in concluding the presentation, but those are the resolutions and recommendations that the NEC of SALGA is making. And there's the last page on recommendations to the committee. And apologies for taking too much of the time. Thank you.
Thank you, Lance. My task is come to its final conclusion. I will therefore hand over to Honorable Mutambi to proceed with the meeting as the chair of the committee. Thank you so much, colleagues.
How sure are you that you are done? Just note the hands that are there. You started with the people at the meeting. I will then take over once the responses and we close the meeting. Note the people that are in the meeting.
All right.
You started with the meeting.
No, can I see colleagues, members that want to ask questions? Honorable Mukalipi, you'll be the first. Who else wants to ask questions?
Honorable Baba.
Honorable Baba, you'll be the second one. Honorable Groenewald, and Honorable Brink. In that order, is there anyone else?
Hussein.
Okay, Honorable Hussein, you'll be the last one. Honorable Mukalipi.
Thank you very much.
Yes, okay. Just hold on. Okay, and Honorable.
I'm in here, TJ.
Yes.
Okay, Chair.
Honorable Mukalipi, proceed and very
Honorable
Matlow, we are left with 30 minutes. So ideally, each member should limit him or herself to 30 minutes max. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I think that also we need to discuss that because it was not our fault. It was beyond our our shoulders that we started the meeting late. So I think that the committee must also throw the chairperson to discuss that, to see when can we have more time with Salga on the issues, because if you are going to limit us to 3 minutes, it's not going to, I mean, justifiable. Nevertheless, Chair, thanks for the presentation, Mr. Lance, and President of Salga, and the CEO. I hope he's hearing me wherever he is, because he had a cutoff. Nevertheless, the presentation, I'm not going to go page by page because of time, but I just want to get some clarities in terms of the presentation. For instance, I didn't see in any of the presentation when we spoke about evictions, because I know it's one of the things that the minister through the regulations of the Disaster Management Act is very clear and stipulated that during COVID-19 must never have any kind of evictions, but we can see that is taking place in the Western Cape, also in Johannesburg. So I just want to get clarity from Salga why they are not talking about evictions that is taking place. Secondly, if I can also get a clarity in terms of the 354 million that Lance spoke about, is this money already there at the municipality using that money in terms of COVID-19, or they were just planning to use the money? I'm asking this question in relation to what is happening now on the ground, whereby many municipalities are using specific councillors to distribute food. And we raised this issue last week on our meeting, and there was no clarity in terms of food distribution by councillors in municipalities. So we need some clarity if there is a specific money that municipalities are using to distribute food in order to have some more clarity. That's one. When it comes to credit control, in terms of regulation 399, that talks about disconnection of electricity and water. If Salga can also clarify some of the issues, because in terms of this regulation that is in place, and I was listening very attentively when Lance was speaking, that they have communicated to municipalities not to disconnect anyone during COVID-19 in terms of this regulation. But I have many cases right now from all over South Africa, starting in Polokwane, and this issue was discussed with the mayor of Polokwane, whereby there is a person that is having that kind of a problem. So I had to engage the mayor of Polokwane to intervene. And there is also in Dr. J.S. Morocco, in Emfuleni, in Northwest, in Mamosa, and all over the country. So my question is, how do you relate this Management Act disaster regulations to the municipalities? Because Lance was saying that they have spoken to municipalities, even with ESCOM, and they have also get a very positive feedback. But when? The question is when, because people are experiencing that disconnection. And also, if the Salga can also clarify some of the issues regarding those municipalities that are dysfunctional. I raised this thing last week as well, if you remember very well, Chairperson, the issue of the speakers that and the MM that are also not supposed to be there in terms of their contract. So now there is 20 billion that is coming to municipalities, and we know the level of corruption in those municipalities. And what is the clear plan of Salga to make sure that there is no corruption that is taking place? As we know very well, Guti, the looting is the order of the day in those municipalities. And in terms of 87 dysfunctional municipalities, how are they planning to make sure that that 20 billion is not going to be useless? For now, let me pause there, Chairperson. Thank you very much.
Honorable Taba.
Thank you, Chairperson. Because of the time, I'll save time, but I have many questions in the filter. But because of time, yes, I can just take it here and there. Chairperson, in terms of the lockdown, as the Salga talks about it, to combating COVID-19 within the community or municipalities, Chairperson, I want to ask from the SALGA about the area of Empindweni, Liboke, Eastern Cape, where people, they are still taking water in the river, and they don't even have the electricity that you are talking about, that SALGA are talking about. They still even have no basic services. If you talk about service delivery to them, it's just a dream. And also, Chairperson, when they hear from something, they're hearing from radio stations, where in that radio station, they're still using batteries like before where we came from. I want to ask from the SALGA, which municipality that is this in Liboke, or which leaders of that are deployed there in this municipality. Also, Chair, in KZN, Pine Town, Etafelkop, Chairperson, there is this man who has been live on TV yesterday, Kufo-04, Uthulani Mcele, who is sleeping in the bush. The house that he is sleeping with, is that a bush? We cannot even regard it as a house. Where is the municipality in those areas? There is no municipality, there is no councillors in those areas. Chairperson, if we want people to observe or obey the rules of the regulation of COVID-19, how can these people of Liboke and people of Tafelkop, they gonna observe or obey the rules of regulation if they don't have any basics of service delivery? And also, Chairperson, I want to ask you from SALGA, because a minister of water and sanitation has...
Honorable Kaba, that will be your last question.
Yes, it is. I want to ask from SALGA, because the Minister of Water and Sanitation has distributed tanks or JoJo tanks in all municipalities to say what role SALGA playing to monitor and to make sure that those tanks, JoJo tanks, are going to the right places or right people. The municipality is not doing wrong things about it, because I hear about I hear about one of the old councillors that to say, even those 10, they can come to them, they won't even have water, because there will be no one who's full up in those 10 about water. Some of them, they've been stolen as we speak, because of they just put with no water. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Colleagues, people that are having their microphones touching, but yet they are not speaking, and it gives us an echo and a bad feedback. Colleagues, can I request that all of us mute our microphones? There's someone playing with the keys on the background. Thank you. The next speaker, Honorable Keza, you have 3 minutes. Please proceed.
Thank you very much, Chair. Well, the first thing that I would want to commend SALGA for the clear and clean presentation. But like, Chair, every clean house you must go through and check if there is nothing under the carpet. One being the disheartening issue of Mkhondo in Mpumalanga, where there is currently evictions. We raised this issue last week, the last time we were here. The family of Khatebe and Simelani are now housed in a hall. meaning that there is a lot that the farm owners are doing in terms of evictions, and there's a lot that we have to be mindful of in terms of that. Number two is the issue of shelters, 166 shelters, in that slide 10. I think that government should keep in mind and should maintain the current status quo in terms of the housing of the homeless and training and with training and reconnection with families and rehabilitation, prevention even after the crisis of COVID-19. Because the temptation will be to only house them during the period and release them back to the streets with no sustainable allocation program for them in terms of impacting a change in their lives. Number three, Chair, the issue of JoJo's and water tanks allocation on slide 12. Across provinces, the fact that they are saying that the JoJo's and the tankers, which in rural areas are mostly parked right now in technical services, as the Honorable Mkhalipi has alluded to, what are measures by SALCA to actually employ a sustainable water infrastructure, in particularly when it comes to the rural areas there? Because I'm not going to talk, my argument is not on metros at all, because metros are able to generate their income there, and as such in December quarter of 2018, they were only able to get from the fiscal 17% there, while you have municipalities in rural areas like your Ngobo, which is solely dependent on the fiscal transfers there. So the argument is that there should be focus put in terms of making sure that municipalities have a necessary, rural municipalities in particular, have a necessary capacity to actually generate income. And maybe we should look at the formulae of the division of revenue, which assumes that those municipalities, all municipalities, including the category A and the category B, category C municipalities, are all able to generate income. So maybe we should look at the formulae and see how we can best remedy the situation there.
Including Honorable Kaza.
Oh, in conclusion, there are many other issues that I wanted to raise, but the major one is the fact that the money allocated to municipalities currently during this period, what are the measures in place to actually make sure that it's well protected against corruption, because the tentative rural municipalities, the fact that they are tentative speaks to the financial independence of those municipalities. So we should look into very, very closely in terms of the rural municipalities, in terms of their well-being. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Honorable Konevar.
Thank you, Chairperson. Just before I start, I want to make two proposals, please, that all the questions that are being asked, that SALGA answer them in writing to us by Thursday. And if there's any other inputs, because there's not enough time for everybody to ask all the questions, to put questions to the Chairperson by, say, tonight or tomorrow, so that SALGA can answer them as well. So, but to begin, my first question to SALGA would be, in terms of the connection and disconnection, I'm currently aware of David Craper Municipality as well as Gamaragara Municipality that already are cutting or disconnecting electricity. We sit with the situation of Government Mbeki Municipality that have actually implemented load shedding within their municipality. What are the interventions they're going to do and what have been done to from SALGA's side? In terms of if the gathering of, if the regulations keeps on stating that they can't be gatherings with more than a certain amount of people, are they looking at mechanisms that to put in place to receive comments in terms of public participation on budget and so forth? Secondly, on your presentation as well, you said that some councils are having meetings, the same as us, with digital platform. Please just check that when there is a meeting in a digital platform, that their rules of order also comply with that, or else it will be an unlawful meeting and any decision on it. Then on slide 14, when you say installed tanks, what do you mean with installed? Because we sit in a situation in Makwasi Hills where some of the water tankers were just put on the ground. There were no fittings on it. The community had to get fittings so that the water doesn't run out of the tanks. And some of them are so poorly connected that all of the water that's being put into the tank is actually just spilling out of the tank. What overview are there on them as well to see that if there is certain tanks being put that is being done correctly and going to say efficiently? Then in terms of municipal revenue, I want to ask SALGA to start engaging on to see how we can do revenue enhancement. I think it will be a nice discussion point for this committee to discuss as well, and to have inputs from our side as well in terms of revenue enhancement in municipalities, especially if you cannot collect. They summarized it quite well. And then all the councillors that had a breach of contract or a breach of the code of conduct in terms of being a councillor in Schedule 2 of the Systems Act, have all of those cases been referred to the municipality as well? Because all municipalities do have a disciplinary committee or an ethics committee. Has all of those cases been referred to those committees as well? Thank you, Chair. I'll pause there.
Thank you, Honourable Groenewald. Honourable Opperman.
Thank you, Chairperson. I would like to divert your attention to page 14 and 15. Regulation 399, the presentation pertaining to the water and sanitation regarding the distribution of the water tanks and the water tankers. I question the reliability of the figures of the Northern Cape. This morning, there was enough time to do a telephonic survey in the Northern Cape, and I'd like to bring the following to your attention. The Northern Cape has been declared a drought-stricken province in August last year, and we've been allocated 837 water tanks, and of which we received only 668, of which only 379 were installed. I would like a breakdown of the towns where installations have taken place, and I want to know where are the 289 tanks that have not yet been installed. In the Kamiesberg municipality, we received 4 water tankers, but we need to truck water from Sedibeng Water because the municipality don't have water to fill the tanks. And first, the water needs to be tested. So Sedibeng sent health inspectors out of Gauteng to test the water in the Northern Cape. And these health inspectors have since been placed in quarantine in Kamiesberg municipality. So in the meantime, it means there is no water. Then in Rietfontein, Ward 16, 2 tanks were delivered, but not one of these tanks are in use because there is no water tanker to fill these tanks. So another constituency with no water. We have drought-stricken areas like Mier, Kakamas, Philandersbrunn, Buchelberg. They receive no tankers and no water. So no water are being delivered there. And the places where water are being delivered, it's been done by fire truck daily. So we have 289 unaccounted for water tanks and 22 missing water tankers. And there's ward in Upington 10, Upington Ward 10 and Upington Ward 2, where there is no basic services and no taps, yet they receive two water tanks that has never been filled, so there is no water. So I'd like a current and real breakdown of where the water tankers are, the 289 missing water tanks, and the water tankers that have not arrived in the Northern Cape. Then we received five tanks in Kakamas for an informal settlement of 3,000 people. The Witrand informal settlement received not one tanker. The Alhaic informal settlement has no tanks. Algrabis informal settlement has received no tanks, but they do have taps without water. Maraba informal settlement received one tank for 1,000 people. So in the Northern Cape, it is a dire situation, Chairperson. I would really like a current update on what's going on in the Northern Cape. The rest of my questions I will forward in writing. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Opperman. Is it Honorable Hussein, the next speaker?
Chair, I think it was Salias that was before me. But I'm in your hands.
Okay, yes, can we take him and then you'll be the next?
I'm fine with that, Chair.
Thanks very much, Chair. I will also submit my questions in writing, and I support the proposal that we get written responses by a particular date. Chair, my first concern is something that I did not see in the SALGA presentation, and that is the effect of the second ministerial directive that was issued on the 30th of March. And I think I've raised this with colleagues on COGTA. And if you read that second directive of the 30th of March, together with the first directive, which it amends on the 25th of March, it would seem that only one structure can have municipal governance and oversight meetings at present, and that structure is this disaster management center created in terms of Section 43 of the Disaster Management Act. If that's not a correct interpretation, that is certainly the interpretation in many councils that are speaking to me, where no oversight meetings are taking place electronically or via audiovisual equipment as we do, and no information is being distributed to councillors about procurement decisions or even the activities of these disaster management centres. And I think that creates a risk, especially in terms of emergency procurement. If councillors don't have any oversight ability, it creates big gaps in which maladministration and corruption might occur. And as we review the lockdown approach, or as government does that, I would like SALGA's comment on whether that directive should not be amended so as to encourage councils to have not contact meetings, not traditional public meetings, but at least use the technology which us MPs use in order to fulfill their oversight functions. Chair, the second comment is on the proposal of councillors to municipal solidarity funds, and I think it is to be welcomed that councillors be encouraged to make a contribution. One thing I would like SALGA to take into account is that certain political parties have already committed their councillors to make contributions to the National Solidarity Fund, and that should be taken into account. The DA in particular, our councillors have committed to contribute 1.5 million rand to that fund. The second concern in respect of municipal solidarity funds is we have to be absolutely sure that those funds are administered correctly and that the governance of those funds are above board, especially in the municipalities that don't have a good track record of governance, and especially also because councillors aren't exercising much of an oversight function at present moment. So those are just suggestions for SELGA to take into account as it refines its proposals. I understand the comment that these are just drafts at this stage, but perhaps SELGA will find the input valuable. Lastly, Chair, on the issue of food parcels and the controversy around that, I think it's important for both the committee and for SELGA to take note of the discussions in the Social Development Portfolio Committee, where the general trend has been to encourage vouchers, coupons, and direct cash payments to the needy instead of food parcels. The main argument for that isn't necessarily the corruption, although that is a factor mitigating against the distribution of food parcels. But also, if, for instance, 1,200 Rand is budgeted per recipient, because of the inefficiencies in government supply chain, only a fraction of that 1,200, in fact, reaches the beneficiary at the end of the day. And we have to, as far as possible, treat people with the necessary dignity and give them the power to meet their needs, whether it be groceries or whatever other shopping item, and then also to take full value. So I think SELGA and the committee might want to encourage the municipalities to look at coupons and vouchers instead of food parcel system. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Honorable Hussein?
Yeah, Chair, I have five issues, and I'll try and run through them as quickly as possible. The first one is I just wanted to also add my voice to this issue around the comment that Honorable Opperman made in terms of the... Because I know that I've seen some of the reports from other provinces, and those figures don't seem to be correct, unless, of course, SELGA is presenting figures that might be a week older or 2 weeks older, perhaps. But in the Western Cape, for example, I've seen a recent report, and those figures are not tallying up. So I just wanted to make that point. Maybe it's an older figure. The second point is the issue around the Solidarity Fund. And I mean, I welcome SELGA's leadership in councillors and me, but I'd like to know what contribution is SELGA themselves making to the Solidarity Fund, because they haven't included that if they are making a contribution. The third one is around the food parcels, Chairperson. I'm afraid that the number of incidents that's covered in the report, which says 19, is not really a true reflection of what's actually going on the ground. And I understand that perhaps maybe there's some information that SELGA hasn't received yet, but just a cursory glance on social media will tell you that there are actually much more examples and complaints of councillors handing out food parcels to their friends, their colleagues, keeping it for themselves. In the Msunduzi municipality, for example, where there's it's in that report, where the mayor says that they were not involved in the distribution of food parcels. Well, there are photographs on social media of the mayor himself handing out food parcels, and pictures of that, which I'll put on our portfolio group so that the other members can see it. Now, what for me is of concern, Chair, is that when these incidents occur, for us to ask the very same municipality to investigate it is a bit problematic. And I think what we need is we need an external independent investigative authority. Either the police must investigate, or the Hawks, or somebody must take it much more seriously. You see, when the president had made mention of this in his address on national television, and the seriousness in which he had spoken on that day, when I look at this report on, and the investigation into councillors who are involved in theft of food parcels, I'm afraid I don't think that the response from the necessary authorities actually match the strength and the seriousness of the comments that the president has made in his national address. So I want to urge our portfolio committee and urge SELGA to take this matter much more seriously. Even if it is 19 councillors, which I don't believe is correct, I'm afraid 19 councillors is far too many for us to have a single councillor stealing food from the poor is just simply not acceptable, regardless of which political party they belong to. And I really would like to see that there's much more stronger action taken against these public representatives for stealing food from the public. Otherwise, we have this report, we walk away and nothing happens. And I want to appeal that we get some feedback in terms of what genuine action has been taken, in particular with regards to Msunduzi, because there, the very culprit who's been involved in distributing food parcels is the one who's been asked to give a report to SAGA. To me, that just doesn't make sense. The next item, Chair, is this issue around the ESCOM payment holiday, and I can imagine that municipalities are going to be under a lot of strain. I don't support that ESCOM be given a payment, give municipalities a payment holiday. If they themselves are trying to get out of the mess, I don't think it's going to be easy for us to ask the ESCOM to allow municipalities not to pay over a 3 month period. What I think should happen is that national government should come to the table and actually be able to assist municipalities to be able to meet their financial obligations with ESCOM. Otherwise, those cost recovery measures that ESCOM is involved in is going to fly through the window and ESCOM is going to fall apart again. The last point, Chairperson, is I think maybe it's been covered, the last point, and I'll just stop there. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Chair, I'm sorry. May I just raise one other matter very, very quickly? And that is this issue about the 20 billion rand that has been contributed to municipalities for relief measures. I know that the regulations require that all expenditure of the municipality or emergency expenditure must be reported to the next council meeting when it sits again. And if I'm not mistaken, I think the regulation says 30 days. My great concern is that there are many municipalities where just the mayor and the municipal manager are taking decisions in terms of expenditure. There's very little accountability. There's no oversight because councils are not meeting. And so there has to be some higher authority oversight over those municipalities. And I would like to ask if SAGA at the next opportunity or even at perhaps COCTA could give some sort of report back in terms of how those municipalities use that money and to what extent that money was used for the intended beneficiaries, so that we can avoid a situation where that money has disappeared into somebody's pocket. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We have last two honorable members, Meklo and then Honorable Mpumza, you'll be the last one. Meklo, are you still there? Honorable Mpumza?
Can I take Meklo's slot?
Yes, sir. Mpumza?
All right, after Honorable Mpumza, Honorable Mutambi will be the last one. Honorable Mpumza?
Yeah, thanks, Chairperson.
Can we see your face? Thank you. Unmute your mic. Honorable Mpumza, your mic is on mute. Thank you. Including your face.
GM, please. Face,
yeah. Honorable Mpumza, your mic is face. They are passed.
Maklo,
please mute your microphone.
Yes, I've muted it.
How are you?
Honorable Mpumza. Yes,
my
go
point
ahead.
Was that my point is that the foresight of the leadership of SAGA for the recommendation, the foresight in the recommendation that they have made. But Chair, the distribution and the installation of the water tanks is very critically very, very slow. And it defeats the purpose of the objective of providing this. Perhaps SAGA must begin to think of an innovative measure that municipalities would actually speed up the distribution and the provision, the installation of these tankers, as well as a filling in of water to the destitute and the poor communities. Chair, the SAGA in the and as well as the report that is presented, one critical issue that I want to look at was that this issue of ESCOM threatening to invoke the PAJA in the Northwest and the other municipalities, as well as municipalities that are intending that is to invoke credit control in this particular time, is a matter that would require some intervention so that people, the poor people and the homeless, are not affected by being disconnected. So I think that SALGA must prevail over member municipalities actually to relax their credit control measures during this period of the lockdown. But also I think the question of the assignment of this executive function of regulating electricity by municipalities should be expedited by the national government, in particular the interministerial committee that's working on this matter must actually speed up this matter so that municipalities are given this executive function as actually contained in the constitution. My last comment, Chair, would be that what is SALGA coming up with? Because in the Eastern Cape in particular, that in these rural municipalities, the spread of the pandemic has been through funerals, in particular in the municipality of Port St. John's and Tabankulu and other areas in the Eastern Cape. Then what measures then is SALGA is suggesting to member municipalities to make sure that in their bylaws, they are actually strengthening the regulations on the tightening of the funerals and the compliance by communities. And critically, the last would be that to what extent is SALGA that is triggering member municipalities so that their structures in the wards are actually active in terms of conveying education to communities among the education awareness within communities so that indeed people are actually complying and actually following up the regulations as set. Thanks, Chairperson.
Thank you. Honorable Mutambi, Honorable Meklo will be the last one. We'll take Honorable Mutambi for now and then Meklo will be the last one. Over to you, Honorable Chair, your questions.
Thank you, Chair of the session. My issue is around the matter that has been raised by the other colleagues on water on water services. I attended the District Command Council of Wembe in the region where I am, and then you find that out of the tanks that were allocated by the municipality, the tanks that have been installed are less than the ones that are still to be installed. When you ask the question why, because you said you wanted water tanks, and then you have the tanks, and why are you not installing the water tanks? They tell us that the National Department of Water and Sanitation has also appointed a service provider who's battling to even install tanks. So I think this is the matter that I want the national office bearers, including you, President of SALGA, when you attend the National Command Council, can you raise this issue? Because you see, for the whole month, tanks have been staying in the municipalities. They are not yet installed, yet communities don't have water. But then they are there to say, why this, the capacity of this service provider, why was it not considered? The other issue that I want to raise is the issue, I know this is the municipal standing rules and the municipal systems, it's municipalities that must act against these councillors. I see there's a lot of inconsistencies in dealing with this matter. The others are just given lesser cities, whereas other municipalities are seen to be complying. Because I'm reading this in line with the incidents. There's one incident in Northwest that I've seen. Yes, I'm trying to quickly page that. But it's in Northwest, Ramuta Remuila, local municipalities. If there's an incident where in councillors way, we're selling hand sanitizers to foreign owned shops, and then you see that there's no action that has been taken against the councillor. Is means that then the municipality, that particular municipality, is condoning, it's condoning this behavior of its councillors who requested businesses for food parcels for personal gains. That's the issue that I wanted to raise, to say then there's no action taken against. Then you find another municipality then taking action. I think these are the matters that you need to also follow up with your members. And then the other issue, I think it's about your issue of the contribution to the solidarity fund as proposed here. I think we are hearing your proposal. And then also this issue to say then it must be for municipal use at municipal level. But then there are other political parties. I thought I would hear Honorable Mkalibi say that we had already directed their councillors to contribute the third of their salary to the National Solidarity Fund. What do you intend to then make sure that this issue then it doesn't contradict the other? What do you think should be the best solution to deal with this, with regard to these matters? And then I think the other issues, as the other colleagues have raised, 20 councillors, yes, but it put the whole local government in the spotlight. It's about the issue of the role of councillors themselves now when it comes, apart from distributing food parcels and all those other things that they are keen on. There's an awareness part of it which councillors must be doing. Like, you see so many people in the streets, some lingering, they don't even know what is happening. What has been the structured role of councillors to be the ambassadors on this campaign of fighting this COVID-19? Because you see in other municipalities, people are locking down. In others, it's business as usual. And there's also this issue of sanitizers as well. We know National Department is giving sanitizers to district municipalities. And then the municipalities will in turn distribute them to local municipalities. But how sure are we that these sanitizers are actually reaching their intended beneficiaries? Those were my few questions, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Mutambi. Honorable Klo, you're the last one, and then we'll give over to Salga to respond quickly. Honorable Klo.
Okay, thank you, Chairperson. Let me firstly thank the SALGA for the presentation. My question firstly will be on the water services, that there are water tanks that are distributed around the country. But in our region, and especially in Tshwane, in municipalities somewhere in Soshanguve, there are many water tanks that are there, and I don't know which criteria were they using to distribute those water tanks, because those water tanks are still lying there. And if you check on the issue of our Hammanskraal, they've long been having the water problem for a very long time. Even now, they are still experiencing the same problems, especially on the people that are staying on the sharks. I think those people, they need urgent attention. And SALGA, they should also take this issue very serious of the water tanks that are staying there in Soshanguve, not distributed to the relevant places and the relevant people. Then again, on the issue of the SALGA, I just want to ask the SALGA that what are their views in respect of granting struggling and overly indebted municipal employee access to a certain percentage of their pension fund as an additional form of relief? Those are the questions that are the SALGA, maybe they should respond effectively on that. And then again, on the issue or for addressing the challenges in municipalities, right? That what are the urgent recommendation measures that you are going to enforce in addressing challenges municipalities under financial distress for financial relief. What SALGA are saying about that. Then another one critical issue now is the lack of transparent criteria for the selection of beneficiaries for the food parcel facilities, that those food people are having many lists of the people that need food parcels. But as of now, people are still loitering around the street wanting to know who are the relevant people that they should go and ask them for the food parcels, especially in Tshwane, where especially in Soshanguve and Mamelodi and Harankua and Winterfell. So those people, they need urgent attention of relevant people that they should communicate with. And then again, on the issue of...
That will be the last question.
The municipal, on municipal revenue, what measures are the municipalities going to introduce in making sure that they collect as much revenue as possible? Because as of now, most of the people are out of work. Those that are street vendors, they are not working. Now, I don't know, is it going to be possible for them to make sure that people are honoring their plea? I don't know.
Thank you, Honorable Meklo.
There are so many questions that I wanted to ask, but I thank you, Chairperson, for now.
We'll have an opportunity to submit written questions and SALGA will respond accordingly. Honorable Nkadimeng, President.
Chair?
Yes.
So, Chair, would you kindly not be generous enough to give us a second round, please, just for even 30 seconds, Chair, please?
It will depend on how long will SALGA take to respond, and then we'll see as time
progresses. SALGA to be pointed, please, for that for purpose.
Your request is noted accordingly.
Thank you, Chair.
On Honorable President, Nkadimeng.
Mara, why are you interrupting? You mean that?
Honorable President, are you still there?
I'm here, and now I'm hearing people.
Michael, can you stop playing with your grandchildren, please? We are in a meeting.
No, thanks. Honorable President, over to you. You will then guide us as to who will be responding to questions. Hopefully, you have noted all the questions down. So we are handing over to you to respond to questions, and then you'll summarize at the end. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I think you may have to really guide. I've noted 50 questions, and we really would want to do justice to the questions. So I think for starters, I'm going to go with the recommendation that earlier members made, that we made the submission in writing to respond to these questions. Otherwise, they need a bit of clarification, comparison of statistics as we see in the National Command on Water, et cetera, to make sure that we are thorough into the questions that members have raised. I'm going to hand over to the CEO to respond to some few that he possibly can just for now. But I wanted to deal lightly, of course, more information could follow with regard to councillor conduct. And agree with members that whether it's 19 or more, it's just by too many. I think that's the principle. Zero tolerance should be what we all are striving for, to make sure that there is not even a single case under such a pandemic, not even generally under any general circumstances. But the regulations with regard to the code of conduct of councillors, relies or is the custodian of every municipality and every municipal council. As our notice, which has been attached there, which was sent to all municipalities, but also subsequently also dealing with the three cases at the time, which were first reported, clearly indicates and gives direction to what municipalities must do. this go hand in hand with what the law enforcement may also have to do with regards to criminal cases and charging of officials. I mean, for example, there's a case in Polokwane municipality. The speaker interacted with the councillor, was advised by our legal services to charge the councillor and seek for concurrence from COCTA. And COCTA wrote back to us today and said, wait to the end of lockdown and not take action and cancel to discuss the matter thoroughly. So there are some of these difficulties which may not be easy for us to manage at a level of SALGA in interacting with councils. But the legislation is very clear, and the principle is what is being respected to deal with that. I'll ask the CEO to touch on the key issues, water and others, but we will bring fully written responses, Chairperson, to the committee to be able to do justice on what we think can be able to assist ourselves and the committee. Otherwise, trying to respond to 50 questions in such a very short space of time will not be possible. But we appreciate the opportunity, and we appreciate the commitment for the portfolio to work with us and push hard to make sure that local government becomes a better state. Can I hand over to the CEO, Chairperson?
Yes, so we agree that you'll give us a detailed written responses. Therefore, the CEO will touch base on what he thinks are the key and critical issues that ought to be responded to currently. So we'll give him those few minutes, but he must not attempt to go into detail. Yes, yeah. For a few minutes, CEO, and then Honorable Chair, you will summarize and close the meeting. I think my role will end here. CEO, over to you. Is he still struggling to be audible?
Can we also see his face, please? We must not speak to the spook here.
CEO, are you there? Honorable Nkadimeng, President, it appears as if your officials are struggling to connect.
Okay, Chairperson, with the powers vested upon the chair, then, can we be allowed to make the submissions in writing as we have requested? You can hand over to the chair of the committee, but we will comply. The CEO is sending me a message that they have muted me. So please unmute the CEO. But I think we can conclude.
He must unmute himself. The CEO must unmute himself.
He says I can hear and see all of you. It means this main mic is not working. But let's conclude, Chair.
Is he unable to unmute himself using his device?
Yes.
This is exactly what happened to me, eh?
But the whole thing of SALGA.
My situation.
The whole Mkhalipi, of SALGA. I nearly said Councillor Mkhalipi. Honorable Mkhalipi, that happened to your Honorable Chair.
No, the CEO, we can't accept that from the CEO perspective. He's a big person.
Honorable Mkhalipi, thank you very much. Noted, madam.
thank you, Honorable Nkadimeng. Honorable Mutambi, over to you. Please conclude the business of the day. Thank you.
But there was a problem from Honorable Kreza. Since the CEO is not muted, can't you just consider that proposal from Kreza?
No, Kreza can submit the questions in writing as well. If he can do it now, immediately when we knock off here, he sends them to Shirin. Shirin, the committee secretary, will send the same thing to SALGA, so that SALGA by Thursday, they should have responded by midday Thursday. We should get all our responses, all those 50 plus the other additional that Honorable Feza want to put. I don't know whether it's 6 or 7, whichever the number.
It's one.
It's one.
Just one.
Yeah, raise it sharply.
On the incident, on the incidents of alleged breach of code of conduct, only, Chair.
I hear the president of SALCA has mentioned only the speaker there in Polokwane, but also the mayor was found to have deliberately excluded wards that were supposed to benefit from the donation of food parcels purely for political expedience. So you can see, as we have raised here, that the problem of political interference is prevalent in this thing of distribution of food. So why is it that he is not mentioned in this list? And then what are the actions, the immediate actions to deal with that conduct? Thank you very much. That's all, Chair.
Yes, Honorable Kaiser, which municipality is that one?
Polokwane municipality, Chair. Polokwane, in Polokwane.
At least Polokwane, the president of SALCA is the mayor of Polokwane.
Yeah.
So, yeah, is the mayor, the president of SALCA who did this.
Exactly.
So why don't you go direct to her and just go? Because she's here with us. Maybe she can answer. You want to do that or it will be part of the collective responses, majority of Polokwane?
I think she can redeem herself now.
Yes. Over to you, Tembi.
I'm in your capable hands, Chair. You could also submit a written response. The allegations are unfounded. The food parcels were only received on Tuesday. So the donation was not even given by the municipality, it was given by food of the giver or gift of the giver. So there is a difference. In fact, the party that was alleging was advised by the speaker to go and open a case.
Have we lost you, Councillor Ngadimeni? Councillor Ngadimeni?
I think she has left, disconnected by mistake.
I just got disconnected.
Oh,
but
there
I think
we go.
Back now.
Yeah, I think on that one, you know, we're agreeing that you're going to give that report in full, in writing as well as a separate report, not part of the SALCA report. And then all these other questions, you are going to submit them to us in writing by midday Thursday. We are agreeing on that one as well.
Midday Thursday, Chairperson.
Yes.
Okay, I hear you loud and clear.
Yeah, then any other member who might feel they have additional questions, they can do that today and submit. You'll get them before you sleep. I think I need to also appreciate you, SALCA. Remember, you were supposed to come and present on Thursday. But due to the unavailability of the minister, you agreed. And then I know you worked tirelessly to put the presentation together, which we are so appreciative. Then you finally sent the presentation last night. We want to appreciate that. Then as a way forward, like I've indicated, then the summary of the meeting won't be easy based on the fact that you're still going to respond to our question in writing. Safe to say that for now, then what I will do is just to again confirm the members' attendance. The members of the portfolio committee. We know SALCA is led by the president and all the national office bearers are here. I can see them in the screen. The secretary will write those names. Also, then the CEO in attendance, though he can't hear us, he's muted, but I know it's part of the meeting, including the COO. On the part of the members, I'll start with Honorable Kronewald, he's here. And then it's Honorable Hussein, Honorable Brink, Honorable Opperman, then Honorable Mkalipi, Honorable Caesar, and then it's Honorable Hadebe, Honorable Mpumza, Honorable Kavanchava, Honorable Sou, and Honorable Mutambi. This is the attendance of the members, just for the record sake. Did I omit anyone?
No, yes, sir. Yes, Professor Luthuli was also online.
Yes, yes, yeah, I can see he was online himself, so we'll put his name. Who else? No, it's fine then, but I've seen a lot of attendees at the MEC. Ravin Singh has been very consistent in attending this meeting, and all other members of the media, they are here. All the office, and even the portfolio heads of SALGA, they are here. The NEC members, majority of them, I can see they are all here, but the secretary will attest to that. Safe to say, then, I need to then thank you for your time and really apologize for the technical glitches that I had to experience, but at least I'm not alone. Even the CEO of SALGA is affected by that. The meeting then gets adjourned, the way forward being that SALGA will submit written submissions to the committee by midday on Thursday, it being the 30th, if I'm not mistaken. Yes, basically that's it. Then that brings us to the